Thank you to all the leaders of our Rock, both the Friday Rock and the Sunday Rock, and also thank you to the children for the things that you have done in our service this morning. It's good to see what you have been up to. I hope you don't mind now. I think I'll be speaking mainly to the mums and dads, but you can listen as well. Okay? Now, Philip read to us from Luke chapter 2, and it is to that passage of Scripture that I want us to, Luke chapter 1, that I want us to return now, verses 26 to 38. And we're going to be looking at the birth announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over this Christmas period, this morning and this evening, next Sunday morning and next Sunday evening, I want to be looking at the Christmas message and trying to get through to what the message is that God wants us to hear through this story. Often we can affect a message by the way we, in effect, dress it up, or by the circumstances that are happening around us when the message comes. And whenever we think of Christmas, let's be honest, we think of pretty lights, we think of nice, clean shepherds, we think of wise men coming from a far country, and it's all bright and full of colours. But in fact, it must have been pretty rough, as any mum will tell you who has had a baby, to travel that distance just before the baby is born. You're not going to be sitting there radiant, are you? You're going to feel worn out and trying to find a room for the night and everywhere being full. You're going to feel fed up. Shepherds coming in from the fields are not going to be dressed in the equivalent of their Sunday suits, are they? It's going to be pretty dark. And in fact, we are told at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, this verse is a verse taken from the Old Testament, but Matthew quotes it. He says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." And what is the Lord saying through that verse? We use the idea of darkness to describe things when they are difficult, when we feel, we say the days were pretty dark. In other words, we're going through a troubled time, and that's what the people of Israel were going through at this time. No longer were they a world power. In the days of their second king, David, they had been a force to be reckoned with. But now they were a nation under occupation, governed by the Roman authorities. In the days of Elijah and Moses and Isaiah, there had been great preaching. Men had spoken with the power of God. And yet, for 400 years, there had been no real preaching and no man speaking with the authority of God. People still went to the temple, they still went to the synagogue, but it was a case of, well, it's 10:30 on the Sabbath day, we're going to go along, we're going to offer our service, and then we're going to walk away. And that's all it was, just formality, turning up. There was nothing that was affecting the heart of the people. And in fact, relationships amongst people were pretty bad. Women and non-Jews were despised. They were looked down on. They had no respect. But let's be honest, it's a bit like our day. So many people live with no thought of God. Just in the past week or two, I've heard some awful things said about Christianity. One example, a businessman described churches as evil places because they defended traditional marriage. Evangelicals have been described as bad because they stand for the truth of God's work. Perhaps we're living in dark days. People are not interested in the things of God. But what happened in those dark days? Did God say, well, things have got so bad, I'm not going to get involved with those people? No. It was in those dark days that God did one of his greatest works in history. He didn't go to the rich. He didn't go to the famous. He didn't go to the educated. To begin with, he didn't even go to men. He didn't go to religious people and self-righteous people. Who did he go to? He went to a woman, a young woman, a woman who may even have been as young as a teenager, somebody that the society of those days would have looked at and thought, she's nothing. She is irrelevant. So from this message that was read to us by Phil this morning, I want to bring out a few points that I trust will be an encouragement to us, but also will be a challenge. First of all, God speaks to ordinary people. God speaks to ordinary people. Verse 26 of Luke 1. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Nazareth. Today, in many ways, the United Kingdom, particularly England, is split up into the south and to the north. And people often speak about the north of England. Oh, they're from up north. Well, it was like that in the days of Jesus. If you lived down in Judah, around Jerusalem and that area, you were somebody. But if you lived up north by the Sea of Galilee, in places like Nazareth, people said, oh. In fact, when Jesus started his ministry, one man said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? But it was there, in that place, that people despised. You know, let's be honest. People talk about Newport, and they say to me, well, where's your church? And I say, in Pill. What? And they think it's a place that no good thing can come out of. But God has placed us here, hasn't he? God has placed us so that we might speak to ordinary people. And it was in the village or the city of Nazareth that God sent his angel Gabriel. Now again, with the Christmas story, we talk about angels as if they pop up everywhere. Children, have any of you ever seen a real angel? No? So it was pretty spectacular, wasn't it? I don't know about you, but if I'm busy and somebody comes into the room, in fact, I did this to Patsy the other day, she was here, practicing on the organ, and I thought, who's in there? So I walked around the corner, and there she was, busily playing. She didn't realize that I was there. And she looked up, and she was petrified. And that's how Mary must have felt. You know, you don't see angels every day of the week, and yet we read about them at the Christmas time. And we think, well, it was commonplace. It wasn't. God came. God came to this woman. God came to this young woman. And I want to emphasize this point a little bit more. You know the story of the feeding of the 5,000? Well, we are told that the people were sat down and they were counted. And it says that those who ate were about 5,000 besides women and children. What were they saying? They were saying that they counted 5,000 men. They didn't bother counting the women and the children. They were unimportant. But friends, I want to emphasize this morning. Perhaps you have come here and you have thought, I'm nobody. Nobody cares about me. I'm an irrelevance in this day and age. God spoke at the time of Jesus' birth to somebody who was despised by society at large. And I can say to you this morning that because we have read the Bible, God is speaking to you, whoever you are. God has got a message for you. But as we come back to this story, I want to bring out a second point. Do you remember that verse that I spoke about? The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. Well, the second point that I want to bring out this morning is that God is never defeated by the darkness. How often have you got to the point in life and you've thought, where are we going from here? Is there a way out? Will things ever change? But it was into this desperate situation that God sent his light. The light of the angel Gabriel. The light of the star. Formal religion was simply telling people, this is the way that you must live. And if you didn't keep the rules, you condemned yourself. And if you didn't condemn yourself, there was always somebody there to condemn you. And this was the horrible situation into which God sent his angel to speak to Mary. Notice, he didn't raise up political leaders and say, what we need is a revolution. There were people around like that. They were called zealots. But it wasn't they that God spoke to. We are told, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a woman, to a young woman. The angel came with a message. I don't claim to be an angel this morning, but I am a messenger. I am a messenger from God, because I haven't got my own words to speak this morning. I only have the words of God to speak to you. And I want you to be encouraged this morning that God is able to speak at the times when you least expect him. And I realize that many of us are facing difficulties in our lives. And let's be honest, the scripture tells us in verse 29 that when Mary met this angel, when this angel spoke to him, she didn't just sit there and say, oh, good morning, Gabriel. No, we're told she was greatly troubled and she tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Friends, God came to Mary in her darkness. The darkness did not overcome God's purposes. God is never defeated by difficult circumstances. So God speaks to ordinary people. God is never defeated by the darkness. And there is one third point that I want to bring out from this message this morning. God gives hope. We are not living in a hopeless situation. God begins his message in verse 28 by saying, greetings. And it's an encouraging greeting. It's a greeting that gives the idea of rejoicing. And God is saying, look, I want you to be glad in this situation. And how does he address Mary there in verse 28, greetings, O favoured one, the Lord is with you. O favoured one, how do you feel when somebody says to you, do us a favour, will you? You think, oh. But that isn't what God's saying here. God is saying, I want to do you a favour. In fact, I've already started doing you a favour. And when he speaks to Mary and calls her the favoured one, he is saying, I am beginning to bless you. And friends, this morning, the fact that you are in church means that God is blessing you, because God is speaking to you. God is giving you the blessing of hearing his voice. the Lord is with you. Now, Mary didn't see God. She only saw the messenger of God. And this morning, I don't pretend that any of you will see God here, or you will see God here on earth. But I can say to you, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with us, because when the angel spoke to Joseph, he said that Jesus, the child to be born, would be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Friends, God is with us this morning, and that gives us hope. The darkness may be great, but God is with us in the darkness. And what does God then say through this angel? In verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God." Do you know, I ought to sit down and do it one day, but the more I preach, the more I'm reminded of the fact that God says, time and time and time again, "Do not be afraid. Fear not," as it's put in the Authorized Version. God speaks to us, and he doesn't want us to be afraid. And again, let's think about this angel. We would be frightened to death if we were to come face to face with an angel. It would be even worse if we saw the presence of a holy God. But the first thing that God ever says to us is, "Do not be afraid." He might show us our sin. He might show us our failures. He might show us where we've gone wrong and where other people have gone wrong. But God never shows us our failures in order to crush us or to destroy us. He says, "I show you where things are difficult because I want to bless you. O favored one, the Lord is with you." But before we go on, I want to make clear that there are three great facts that come out of this point this morning. God desires to bless his people. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God sent his son to seek and to save that which was lost. So God desires to bless his people. God is with his people, even though it is dark. I don't know if you've ever been in a power cut, and you've been in a building where there is total darkness, and you think, "What am I going to do?" And you hear a voice in the darkness, and you think, "I'm not on my own." The third thing, as his people, we have nothing to fear, because God desires to bless and to build up his people. And then the story goes on, and Mary is given this news which we are so familiar with. But can you imagine how devastating it would have been? This young woman, engaged to be married. In fact, it was a stronger relationship than our engagement. There had been a formal arrangement between two families that these young people should get married. Here they are, and Mary has been a virtuous woman. She has kept herself for her husband, and suddenly she is told, "You are going to have a baby." It's mind-blowing. It's something that you don't understand. And Mary was to have to learn something from God. But I don't want to emphasize the birth at this point. I want to show you what the angel wanted Mary to understand about this child that she was to carry. In verse 32, we're told, "He will be great, he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." It's important that we see Jesus as the babe of Bethlehem, the Son of God, born of a woman in a very simple manger. But if we see Jesus only in the manger, we've misunderstood the message. If we see Jesus only on the cross, we've not understood the full significance. Yes, Jesus was born in order to die. He came to die. He came to die to pay the price of sin. But if we see him, as some so-called Christians do, still hanging on the cross, then we've missed the point. He was buried. He has been raised again. And today he is the King. The King that Mary was told about. And we come this morning, yes, to worship the babe of Bethlehem, to worship the Christ of Calvary, but to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mary is confused. How can this be? She says, since I am a virgin. And then she's told something about the work of the Holy Spirit. The baby that she carried was not a result of human action. The baby that she carried was a result of the work of the Holy Spirit. And friends, we have an insight there into the new birth of every Christian. There is nobody here this morning who is a Christian because they want to be a Christian. They are a Christian, in a way, by the same work that gave Mary a child. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit came into Mary's life, and she conceived, and she bore the Son of God. Friends, every person who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and asks his forgiveness is born again of the Spirit of God. But you say, Bernard, how can that be? Friends, I cannot explain how the Holy Spirit made Mary pregnant. I cannot explain how the Holy Spirit comes into the heart of every believer. But what I can say to you is, look at the evidence. A baby born in a manger 2,000 years ago still dominates history. The darkness tries to crush him, but it can't. People are born in sin. We all live according to our own desires. We turn away from God, but God comes to us by his Holy Spirit. And he doesn't say, live a good life. He doesn't say, do the right things, and when you've scored enough points, I will let you in. No, the Holy Spirit comes, and he changes us from the inside, that we might believe, that we, like Mary, might be given new life, that we might trust in our God and our Saviour. Mary was confused. Maybe you're confused this morning. How can God change me from the inside? He alone is able to explain that, but he does it. And you might say, but I've turned too far away from God. Well, verse 37 gives us a glorious fact. Nothing will be impossible with God. The darkness seemed to be crushing religion in the day that Jesus was born. And yet light dawned that has never been put out. How did Mary respond? Verse 38. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. let it be to me according to your word. Mary, who had this incredible encounter with God, was prepared to say, I am prepared to do whatever God wants me to do. Let me ask you this morning, friends, is that your attitude? Are you saying, I will do what God wants me to do? I will come under the authority of God's will. I want to live in the power of His Spirit. The world is a mess. It's a mess at political levels. It's a mess at economic levels. It's a mess in moral levels. But it is not beyond God's control. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still on the throne. Your life? It's not beyond God's knowledge. Some of you will be putting on a good front this morning in order to impress others. But you're not beyond God's knowledge. And God is able to come to you. He knows and He understands. And that good news that David spoke about with the children is the good news that he wants us to hear. He came to Mary and he said, you are the favored ones, or the favored one. God wants to do us the greatest favor possible. And he calls us to trust him and to believe in him. Will you do that this morning? Will you, like Mary, trust not the babe of Bethlehem, not simply the Christ of Calvary, but trust the Christ who reigns in heaven and is preparing a place for all those who believe in him. Amen.